1 Corinthians this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll be reading verses 12 through verse 19. Verses 12 through verses 19 this morning. I'll read the evens, 12, 14, 16, and 18, if you'll join me on the odds this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll please stand with me in the honor and reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll begin reading verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that now he's not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And thank you so much for, again, the opportunity to open a good book this morning and read from it. Thank you so much for a place we can come and call our local church. And Lord, I pray the special, just prepare our hearts for the message as we hear the man of God preach from the word of God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Wonderful. Great singing this morning. Great songs about the Lord's resurrection. And we know that He's alive, not just because a song says it, but the Word of God tells us. And because He lives in our hearts. Amen. And hopefully you talked with Him this morning before you came to church. I want to speak on this question today. What if? What if? Just two words. What if? A question. Let's pray together and ask God to speak to our hearts as we look into the Bible. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that Jesus is alive. Help me now as I preach on the subject, what if He had not risen? Help me today. Use Your word. Dear Holy Spirit, we trust in You. There is nothing good in me. I have no confidence in my flesh, none whatsoever. But I have great confidence in the Bible. It's a living book. And great confidence in the Holy Spirit. And I pray today that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God in the hearts of the people of God. May we listen carefully. Help us to pay attention and give it, Lord, give great attention to the Word this morning. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. Almost every action results in a consequence. In fact, that's exactly how Webster defined the word consequence in his 1812 Dictionary of the American Language. He said that a consequence is that which follows from any act, cause, principle, or series of actions. And we understand that every action produces, almost every action produces, some consequence. Now, the truth of the matter is that inaction produces consequences as well. Okay? Many of us in the room, I would assume, drink several glasses of water in a day's time. I think the medical association recommends eight ounce glasses of water in a day's time is what's good for a human being. That's a lot of water, okay? That's a half gallon, isn't it? Half gallon of water in a day's time. But that many of us, I'm sure, drink several glasses of water in a day's time. And we can talk about the consequences of drinking good water, how it helps us, what it does for our bodies, and so forth. At the same time, we would ask the question, what if we drank no water in a day's time? Would there be any consequences from not drinking any water in a 24-hour period? And yes, there would be. We could talk about the consequences of not drinking water. So you got the action of drinking a glass of water that has a consequence. You've got the inaction of not drinking water, and it has a consequence as well. Now, keep that in mind. In 1 Corinthians 15, not about water, okay, but action and inaction both produce consequences. When you get to 1 Corinthians 15, we have the great theme of the resurrection presented by the Apostle Paul. Not just the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the grave of every saved person. Amen. And Paul presents the consequences of the resurrection as well as the what ifs. The what ifs. What if there's no resurrection? Well, obviously the action of the resurrection has consequences. And if there were no resurrection, that would have consequences as well. In fact, in the section that we just read there with Brother Bragg a moment ago, that passage is specifically, that group of verses presents the fact of Christ's resurrection. And in part of these verses, Paul deals with the what ifs. What if Christ had not raised from the dead? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to search out this passage right here, verses 12 through 19. Now, there are more what ifs than I have time to address or discuss today. And so I'm going to cut to the what I consider to be the major what if. Okay? And ask three questions. Three questions. Three what ifs. Question number one. What if Christ had not risen? Okay? That's the first question we'll look at. What if Christ had not risen? We'll start with this what if. What if Christ had not risen? Now, Paul brings up that particular what if in verses 14 and 17. Look at verse 14. It's not really in the form of a question, but it's implied. And if Christ be not risen. So there's the what if. If Christ did not rise. Look at verse number 17. And if Christ be not raised. So two times in these verses, Paul brings up the question of what if? What if Jesus Christ had not risen? What if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead? And people, there are several consequences to if Christ doesn't rise, but he didn't rise from the dead. But here is the one that I want to consider in the message right here at the beginning. If Christ had not risen, now listen carefully, there would be no gospel. If Christ had not risen, there would be no gospel. The Bible teaches that the gospel of Jesus Christ is His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I hope you kept your Bible open because we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. Look back at the very beginning of the chapter. If you close your Bible, open back up. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 1 here in the first verse of this chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. There it is right there. Which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, if you like to mark your Bible, you can circle verses 3 and 4, and you can write out in the margin of your Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said in verse 1, I have declared unto you the gospel. And then he defined that in verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Verse 4, He was buried. And verse 4, He was resurrected from the dead according to the Scriptures. Listen very carefully. His death was according to the Scriptures. His burial was according to the Scriptures. His resurrection was according to the Scriptures. Now, what does that mean, Brother Angel? What that means is this, friend. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was not the result of some happen chance. It was not some coincidence. In truth of the matter, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was planned before the creation of the world. And God identified it and predicted it and talked about it in His Word. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and He, watch it now, rose again just exactly as the Scripture. You say, I'm kind of new to this thing of church. What's the Scripture? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Okay? That's what the Scripture is. Another word for the Bible. He died, He was buried, and He rose again just exactly as the Scripture said He would. Folks, we could take weeks and talk about how Jesus died, just simply died according to the Scripture. And it would take weeks. I don't have weeks to give you this message this morning. You don't have weeks to sit here. Because some of you got special Easter dinner at home right now, and you're thinking, am I going to get out of here before it burns? All right, well, you will, all right? But let me just give you quickly one example of each. Let's start with the death of Christ, okay? Was His death according to the Scripture? Well, in John chapter 19, we won't turn there, but in John chapter 19, you got Jesus, He's on the middle cross, you got two thieves, one crucified on each side of Him. And the crucifixion is a very slow process. It takes a long time. It was an inhumane, severe form of death, a very painful death. And they're hanging there with nails through their hands and nails through their feet. And their body is slumped with the weight of their torso pulling the body down. And to get a breath so they wouldn't suffocate, they'd have to push themselves up. Got that nail in their feet, they'd have to push themselves up. Take a breath and then down again. That's how they would breathe. Well, the Jews saw that the end of the day was approaching, and this was Passover. And they didn't want three bodies hanging on a cross for Passover, their feast time. And so the Bible says, you can read all this in John chapter 19. I'm just trying to paraphrase and move us through it quickly here. You go to John chapter 19. The Jews went to the people in charge and said, look, can we do something here about these people on the cross? Can we break their legs? Well, you understand what would happen. If they broke their legs, they would suffocate and die more quickly. And so the Roman soldiers went to the one side of Jesus Christ where the one thief was hanging and he was still alive, and they broke his legs. They went to the other side of Jesus Christ where the other thief was hanging and they broke his legs, and then they turned their attention to the middle cross. But, verse 33, when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs. So for these things were done. You say, well, that's a coincidence. That's a nice thing. Jesus is already dead, so they didn't have to break His legs. That's a nice coincidence. Not a coincidence. Verse 36 says, for these things were done, now listen, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. And then it gives us the Scripture. A bone of him shall not be broken. And that was said in the Old Testament hundreds of years before Jesus went to the cross. So God said something specific. By the way, folks, yes, you love this. You go all the way back to the book of Exodus chapter 12 when they took that first Passover lamb. And the Bible says about that first Passover lamb, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. You say, what's so significant about that? That Passover lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ who became our Passover lamb on the cross. So all the way back in the book of Exodus, in Psalm chapter 34, verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Friend, when those Roman soldiers came to that middle cross and said, hey, you know, we don't have to break his legs, he's dead already. That didn't just happen. That was according to the Scripture. You with me this morning? That was exactly as God said it would happen. And that's just one incident with the death of Christ. How it was fulfilled according to the Scripture. How about his burial? We don't have time to turn to it this morning. Write this Scripture down if you want to read it for yourself this afternoon. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 57 and 58, Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. A rich man, a wealthy man by the name of Joseph Arimathea, he goes to the Roman governor and he begs for the body of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with his body? You thought about what you're going to do with his body? Can I have his body? I'd like to take care of his body. Would you let me take care of his body? And they grant Joseph of Arimathea the body of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Joseph had, he's a wealthy man. He already had all of his burial arrangements ready. He had a garden that he owned, and in that garden was a tomb, and in that, in a sepulcher, a rock, and in that rock had been dug out or hewn out a sepulcher, a tomb, with a flat spot where the body of Joseph was going to be laid someday. He prepared for his own burial. He took Jesus Christ off that cross, the dead body of Christ. And the Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea laid Jesus' body in the tomb that belonged to him. You say, well, that's just a nice gesture. No, it's far more than a nice gesture. Because over 700 years earlier, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 9, the Bible says that Jesus would make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Let's see, he died between two, the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea wasn't just some afterthought. Well, hey, I'd like to have the body of Jesus. Could I have him have that body? No, sir, friend. I don't think Joseph even knew that he was fulfilling Old Testament Scripture. Because Jesus' body didn't go in that grave just by chance. It went in that grave just as God said it would. That's his burial. Well, how about his resurrection? Well, in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 14, Jesus himself is talking, and he mentions that as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said, my body is going to be in the heart of the earth, in the grave, for 3 days and 3 nights. And you know what, friend? In Luke chapter 24 and verse number 21, two disciples were walking down the road, and Jesus joined them, and they were talking about the tomb of Jesus being empty on the third day. I'm just hurrying this morning to tell you, friend, that everything about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was according to the Scriptures. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. Now listen to me. You cannot take one of those three away without taking the whole gospel away. You say, well, I'm willing to believe that Jesus died and that he was buried. And I still believe in the gospel. If you don't add the resurrection, you have no gospel. And if Christ did not rise, there is no gospel. What if Christ had not risen? Folks, the obvious answer, now there are other answers to that question. There are other consequences to that what if. What if Christ had not risen? And by the way, this passage in verses 12 through 19 gives us some of those consequences. I don't have time to go through all of this more. I'm stating the most obvious. If Christ had not risen, there would be no gospel. Are you with me so far? Now you follow the progression. Number two, second question. What if there was no gospel? What if there was no gospel? Well, if we're going to say that, no, there's no resurrection. Okay, what if there's no resurrection of Christ from the grave? Then there's no gospel. So what if there is no gospel? There is no gospel. What is the consequences of no gospel? Well, I'm going to tell you very simply what that is. You listening? If there's no gospel, there's no salvation. There's absolutely no salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Look at it again. We read it just a moment ago. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Look at verse 2. By which also ye are, what's that next word, church? Saved. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the gospel, and the gospel is what makes it possible for us to be saved. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So there it is again. No gospel means no salvation. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. We need the gospel. Without it, you and I are hopeless and helpless. We cannot be saved because salvation comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel. And boy, we cannot save ourselves. How that needs to be told over and over. And so many people are attempting to work their way to heaven. It's sad. Because so many times those works, listen to me, are bathed in sincerity. I have Catholic neighbors who go to Mass every morning. Baptists complain about having to come to church every Sunday. They go to Mass every... I see the car go by somebody every morning. Every morning. Oh, it just breaks my heart. And that's one out of multiplied thousands in this world who are trying to work their way. You ever talk to somebody about heaven? You ever give somebody a gospel tract or knock on a door or ride on a train with somebody and say, hey, let me ask you a question. You know, if you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Oh, yeah, sure. Well, do you? How do you know that? Do you have a Bible reason? Listen to what I've heard. Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm a pretty good person. I haven't done too bad. I go to church. I pray. I pay my taxes. How can we always associate paying taxes with being good? I figure God will weigh all of my bad versus all of my good. And I feel like, you know, I feel pretty confident that the good's going to outweigh the bad. I'm working on it. Well, we're all working for the same place, aren't we? Whoa, stop. Listen. Salvation is not based on anything we can do. Nothing. Salvation is based on the gospel. Listen to Titus 3:5. He said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Works of righteous works, right works. Paul said, it's not by right works which we have done. The truth of the matter is, Isaiah 64:6, it was in our lesson upstairs just a little bit ago, said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Everything right you and I try to do to go to heaven, God looks at it as a filthy rag. That's horrid. Can you imagine having the mortgage for your house being down here, maybe at Homestar Bank? And let's say something goes haywire with your money, your job, whatever, and you can't make your mortgage payment. So you don't make your mortgage payment 1 month, then you get 2 months, right? 3 months. And I don't know what the system is like. I don't know how it all works. But after so many months, you haven't paid your mortgage, they send you a foreclosure notice. And so by such and such a date, if the mortgage is, if the back balance is not paid in full, you're going to lose your house. And so, you know, let's say it's on April 1st, 2013, if your mortgage is not paid in full, you're going to lose your house. And so on March 31st, you and your husband or you and your wife are talking and, you know, you say, you know, we got to, tomorrow's the last day. I said, well, let's get busy here. And you go, then you get some chicken or you get some lettuce and you get some tomatoes and you get some celery and some radishes and you get some, all the fixings. You make this beautiful tossed salad. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. And you get the, forget chicken. Let's go with inch thick ribeye steaks. Amen. That good old red ribeye steak. And you get an Idaho baked potato. You put that steak on the grill. You get an Idaho baked potato and you get some fresh grown green beans and you get some homemade cat head biscuits with some butter. Butter, not margarine. Margarine's not in the Bible. Butter. And some honey. And some homemade lemonade. And you get some homemade lemon meringue pie. And you sweat. And you labor. And you work. And you slave. And man, you put it all. The presentation is absolutely beautiful. And on April 1st, 2013, you walk in at noontime to Homestar Mortgage, Homestar Bank, and you say, here it is. Oh, what's that? Well, this is so I can keep my house. Well, what are they going to say, folks? Well, thank you. They're going to eat it and say, now, did you bring some money? You say, well, that's a silly elementary, silly illustration. It's really not any more silly than people trying to work their way to heaven. Really isn't. You know, God has already declared that we are spiritually bankrupt as sinners. We're bankrupt. We can do nothing to get ourselves to heaven. And yet there are people who are working and trying and sweating and laboring to be saved. And they think that someday they're going to bring all this beautiful presentation, this package of good works up to God and say, Lord, here it is. And God's going to give it as much value as He would give a filthy rag. Can you imagine that? Well, that's not fair. What's wrong with God? Nothing's wrong with God. He has provided a sacrifice for our sins that He will accept. He has provided a sacrifice for our sins that He will be pleased with. You know what it is? It's not good works. It's the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. And all you can do with the gospel is receive it. Believe it. That's all you can do with it. Folks, listen. Hey, listen. I don't mean to be irreverent. I don't want to do anything to be irreverent toward God. But if, let's just logic for a minute. If God gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, as He did. And there's more to that than I even have time to go into this morning. As far as Jesus dipping His soul in hell, His spirit goes to His body, and just all the sin that... And God gave His Son to do that for us. And then, oh, by the way, there's another way that you can get to heaven as well. Well, I sent Jesus to die, and He died and shed His blood, was buried and rose again. But you know, if you don't like that, you can do this too. I don't mean to be irreverent, folks, but I'm going to tell you something. I hate to say it this way, but God has more sense than that. Can I say it that way? Without being irreverent? God has more wisdom than that. Good grief. You don't give your only Son to die like He died. And be separated from His Father in fellowship because He became sin. You don't do that and then leave another alternative. Y'all with me this morning? You understand? If there is no gospel, there is no salvation. None. None. Zero. If there's not a death, burial, and resurrection for you and me to trust in. If there's not a death, burial, and resurrection for you and me to accept. If there's not a death, burial, and resurrection for you and me to come to and say, Jesus, we could not do it. You did it for me. You did it for us. I receive you. If there is no gospel, there is no salvation. Let's go home. Because it's over. What if there is no resurrection? Then there's no gospel. What if there's no gospel? Then there's no salvation. Here's my third and final question. What if there was no salvation. Look at verse number 17 in the passage we read a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 15. And look at verse number 17. And if Christ be not raised, or what if Christ didn't rise? Your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Now look at verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So if there's no salvation, listen, there's only condemnation. That's it. Well, you know, this whole thing of being saved, I don't know if I need it or not. Well, let me tell you, friend, if there's no salvation, there's only condemnation. That's it. Oh, that God would give you the faith to believe that this morning. Oh, that God's Spirit would take this truth and reach down in the heart of some man, some woman, some young person sitting in this room who's been rejecting the gospel, rejecting Christ, saying, you know, I'll figure this out myself, and when I'm ready, I'm going to tend to this. Oh, that God, His Spirit would work in the heart in this room this morning and show you the truth of this. If there is no salvation, there is only condemnation. Perished. Perished. Listen to John 3:17. Don't turn to it. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him, Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Folks, Jesus, what is your mission? Why have you come from heaven, at the right hand of God the Father, to this earth? What is your mission? I came to tell the world they're condemned. He didn't come to do that, because they were already condemned. Jesus didn't come to bring condemnation. He came to bring salvation for people who were already in condemnation. Does that make sense? If there's no salvation, then there's only condemnation. You say, that's a funny word. It's a very strong word. You know what condemnation means? Found guilty and sentenced to die. Condemned. Found guilty and sentenced to die. Found guilty and sentenced to die. So before Jesus left heaven and came to this world, the Bible says that we as sinners were found guilty and sentenced to die. And you know what that death is? That death just isn't life leaving the body and the body goes in the grave. That death is life leaves the body goes in the grave, and that life is separated from God forever in the place the Bible calls hell. That's the death. For the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, spiritual death. Eternal separation from God forever in the place the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. Friend, follow the progression of this morning. What if there is no resurrection? Then there is no gospel. What if there is no gospel? Then there is no salvation. What if there's no salvation? Then there's only condemnation. Got your Bible open? Look at verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. So guess what? All those what ifs are moot. All those what ifs are non-existent. I just wasted my time and yours preaching to you about what if there's no resurrection, what if there's no gospel, and what if there's no salvation. Because there is a resurrection. And because there is a resurrection, there's a gospel. And because there's a gospel, there is a salvation. Amen. And because there's a salvation, I don't have to be separated from God forever. I can go to heaven, live with God forever. What a difference. What a difference. Separated from Him or live with Him. What a difference. You know what the only what if is, friend? What if you don't believe? 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 What if you don't? That's the only what if. The only what if is if you're going to accept it or not. The only what if is if you finally say to you, you know what, the Holy Spirit shows, bang, the light comes on. You know what? I'm not going to delay this any longer. I'm not promised tomorrow's breath. I think I better take care of this today. There is a resurrection. And because there's a resurrection, there's a gospel. And because there's a gospel, there's a salvation. And because there's a salvation, I don't have to die and go to hell. I'm not going to play around with what if I don't get saved. I know what happens. What if I don't get saved? I'm going to get saved. Get saved this morning. I'm going to get saved today. You say, well, that's not biblical. Oh, yes, it is. 1 Corinthians 6 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And you sit there in the pew and your heart's unsettled about this and you're bothered about it and you think, you know, I'll take care of this next week. You're not promised next week, number one. Number two, you don't know if next week you'll even be bothered about it. He just told his story this morning about his uncle. His uncle in Wisconsin or Minnesota somewhere. I'm sorry, Minnesota. The family prayed for years to get saved. He refused to get saved. And so Caleb, 3 years ago, heard he was very sick toward the end of his life, made a special trip up there and sat down and talked with his uncle about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the man told him, his uncle told him, I would like to get saved, but I can't. Because I have no, there's nothing drawing me. That's a classic example of what I'm talking about. You don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when the Holy Spirit is drawing you to Christ. My friend, listen, the only what if this morning, the only what if. By the way, I don't think I wasted my time. I hope you don't think I wasted your time this morning. It's really what Paul said in this passage. What if? What if Christ had not risen? There'd be no gospel. What if there's no gospel? There'd be no salvation. What if there's no salvation? Then there's only condemnation. We can throw all those what ifs away. And the only what if you don't get saved? What if you don't get saved? What if? Greatest story in all the world. Is that God loved you enough to give His only Son. And He is the only way. He died. He was buried. He did rise again. And lives today. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Would you take, can we just sit quietly for a second or two and listen, please. Just nobody moving, and just sit quiet. Can we just think about this? Would you think about it for a moment? Would you think about spending an eternity apart from God? Would you think about that? Would you think about what it means to spend an eternity apart from God? Consider it for a moment. Let me ask this question today. Who's here would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died, I have a Bible reason, a Bible assurance that I'll go to heaven. I came to Christ, I remember. I trusted Him as my Savior. I'm saved, and I know it. If you can say that this morning, would you raise your hand, please, as a testimony of that? Thank you very much. God bless you. Is there somebody here that would say, all right, Pastor Angel, I could not raise my hand a moment ago, and I didn't. I do not have that assurance. I do not know if I died today that I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand this morning? I do not know that I'm saved. Anybody like that? From side to side, front to back, in the balcony. Member, visitor, man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter. I do not know that I'm saved. Or maybe I know I'm not saved. I either got a question or I am convinced that I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? We have prayer for you this morning. Anybody like that? All right, very good. If we're all saved... Now, let me ask this question. Who's here would say, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved in deep water. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? God bless you. Others, all right. If you came to be baptized this morning, now is the time. You may come while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, while nobody's looking. You can come forward. We'll help get you ready for baptizing in just a moment. Maybe you've been saved and you need to talk to us about being baptized. You could come during this time. One of these men or ladies will talk to you about believer's baptism this morning. Anybody else? Pray for me. Anybody else? All right. Who would say this morning, Pastor, I'm saved and baptized. Maybe you've talked to myself or Brother Hansen or somebody else, and you know this is the place God wants you to join, be a member. You've already talked to somebody about it. You'd say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I need to join a good church. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here today? God bless you. All right. Very good. If we haven't talked with you about it yet, then you come and you talk with us, set up a time to sit down and talk about membership. That would be wonderful. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which gives us the gospel, which gives us salvation, which takes away condemnation. Thank you for the day, the hour, the moment that life came to the body of Jesus and he walked out of that grave alive, victorious. Thank you for what that means to us as your people. Now bless the message of the gospel this morning to the hearts of those that heard it. Lord, I pray for some this morning that didn't raise a hand either time. They didn't raise their hand that they know they're saved. And they didn't raise a hand, Lord, to say, I don't know. I don't know, Lord, what they're thinking. I pray that you'll speak to hearts all over the room today. Draw people to Jesus Christ, please, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the salvation that's been provided in Jesus. Draw folks to that today. I pray in Christ's name.